Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thanks so much for joining me today for another edition of our flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm super excited to be with you. Happy New Year to all of you. If you're listening to this, we are very early in 2026, and you're probably thinking about, you know, a lot of your goals, a lot of the things that you want to accomplish for yourself. Maybe it's you're just kind of ready to wipe the slate clean and start new. And so today, I think the conversation, my guest today, is hopefully going to shed light for a lot of you out there who struggle with chronic pain, who have an issue with pain that just is really more about just what's the story I'm telling myself every day. Today, I'm talking to Alex Crowther, who is the CEO of Pain Academy, and he himself has dealt with a lot of chronic pain in his life. And so I feel like this is going to be a really, really good conversation. We're not only going to talk about what managing chronic pain is about, but we're actually going to give you some real-time solutions so that you're not just going back and repeating the same types of things. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Allison. This will officially be the first time I say Happy New Year.
So Happy New Year. Cool. Awesome. I love that. I love that. Yeah, I feel like I say Happy New Year throughout January and February, to be honest. It's like, I don't know. It's just what we say at the beginning of January, But tell my audience first a little bit about you and your story. I know we were talking before we hit record, but you don't have to share all of that because we're going to get into some of that with what we talk about. But just give my audience a little bit of an idea of who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So my name's Alex. I am a Brit by birth, but I'm a U.S. citizen. Been in the U.S. for a long, long time. This is my home. Live in Detroit, Michigan. I worked in advertising at a pretty successful level for about 35 years, running bits of business like General Motors globally and Chrysler and lots of auto. That's why I'm here in Michigan. And life was generally good by the measures of Western success. I mean, life was okay. I was following the goals that we think we should follow, and All of that was dandy. And then in, I think it was May, it was my birthday in 2012. I always say 2013, but it was 2012. My birthday, and I'm driving along happily, sun is shining. And as I go through a set of traffic lights, I get T-boned. A lady didn't know there was a set of traffic lights there coming off the highway, hit me in the order of about 50 miles an hour. And it was only because of the vehicle that I was in. I was in a Jeep Wrangler that was a little bit lifted up, and that frankly saved my life because of the height of the vehicle, and ended up flipping me in the air, and I landed on the roof, pinned next to a utility pole, and obviously I lived, but it was a close call. And in the process of that, both of my hands, but both of my thumb joints, because of the way I was holding the steering wheel, became dislocated, but my thumbs were out of their joints. And that was really the only injury. I was taken to the hospital. They popped them back in, and they did some imaging studies and said that I would need to have those joints rebuilt. So you roll on a month or two later, I have the surgery on my left hand first, because I'm right-handed, and I lived on my own at the time. Like, I got to see how I'm going to manage the right-hand situation being one-handed.
Right. Okay.
And so, yeah, we do that. And it seems then like I'm back at the doctor every few days because, the cast is too tight because of the swelling. And then I ended up with an infection. And then the pins had some problem. And then. I was literally back there, like, all the time. And I was driving the doctor, the surgeon, bonkers. I know that. But then after the injury had healed, I was still complaining of this terrible pain. And again, I was back there every few weeks, and I knew he was getting like deeply frustrated with me because the imaging study showed that everything was just as it should be. And he eventually referred me to another hand surgeon, a friendly kind of surgeon to him. And this lady, this other doctor looked at my images, and she's like, there's nothing wrong. nothing at all. It makes no sense. And then on goes the journey of my next 10 years, where what was my pain in my left hand then becomes mirrored to my right hand. Yeah. All of a sudden,
a lot
one
of injuries end up being systemic. You end up feeling the pain in other places in your body.
100%. Yep. So left to right. Then one morning, I remember rolling over in the morning and my shoulder hurts. And I'm like, oh, is that just an ache from the way I was sleeping? Or is it this? Because it felt the same. It just in my head felt the same. And then sure enough, my left shoulder becomes worse and worse and worse. Then, lo and behold, then it's my right shoulder. Then my skin on my arms starts to become painful. Like literally my skin to the touch. And it still does. My skin, if I take a shower, I can't bear being touched. Like the act of physical touch is very uncomfortable and painful to me.
Wow.
And so this cycle continues to progress. And not only kind of like through my body, like in my joints and limbs, but then it hit my stomach. I ended up with a disorder called gastroparesis, where your stomach basically just like shuts down.
Yeah, I've had clients with that before. Yeah.
So, you know, I basically become pretty unwell. And the best way to describe my hand pain is if you can imagine like slamming your hand in the door, and then, you know, you have that shock. And then once the shock's gone and you recognize what's happened, you've got this like residual pain, like 30 seconds later, that's just like this burning, stinging, kind of like the pain you try and shake, like you're shaking your hands, trying to like shake it off.
Right.
That's the pain. And that's what I would consider like a level kind of 9-10 pain. And this is a 365, 24/7 experience for someone that has the illness that I've got, which is finally diagnosed as complex regional pain syndrome. After about 10 years, I was able to get an appointment through a relationship with a very senior doctor in a pain management specialist within a hospital system. And he came in, he brought two doctors with him, and I got like the full kind of Dr. House workover.
Right.
And almost instantly, it was like within half an hour, they come back in the room having gone and conferred, came back and they're like, no question, no doubt, 100% cast iron, assured, 3 out of 3 of us agree, this is classic complex regional pain syndrome, boom, done. And then they went on to basically say, it may get worse and there's really nothing we can do. You know, we can try and manage the pain. And then the conversation pretty much goes on to things like, it's opiate related and it's pain pumps and it's spinal cord stimulators and things like that.
Totally. Uh-huh.
And so I find myself, there's a chair, people on the listening won't be able to see, but this chair behind me, I keep it in my background because I get to see it all day long. And it's a really good reminder to me. That's the chair that I spent a lot of my time in.
Wow.
Wrapped up in a blanket, basically trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life. Mm-hmm. I got to an incredibly low point, Allison, where I decided that I'd spent all of these years doing everything that I was supposed to do. Again, by Western kind of like standards,
I'd
my butt. I worked really hard. You know, I was always, I was always the first one in and I was always the last one out. And I was always just like doing what I thought I should do. And now I'm sitting in this chair suffering, thinking like, I have nothing. My entire world crumbled around me.
Yeah, basically the way that you were used to living had come to a stop, right?
Yeah.
So, and just so my audience understands, you've been given this diagnosis, probably a treatment plan and everything that they're recommending to go with it, which is probably like a step-by-step, kind of a let's manage this rather than let's focus on how we're going to really keep your quality of life as high as we can. So
basically,
So I'm sure after a while you were like, you probably weren't thinking this isn't working, but you were thinking, okay, I'm going to see if there are like other options and other things that are going to work better for me. So tell us a little bit about how you made the shift.
Yeah, well, like Okay, so how I made the shift was actually a pretty grim situation. So I was actually sitting in the chair at about 3 a.m, looking at the ceiling, trying to nap. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this. Like if this is what the rest of my life is, and I got another, like, theoretically 20, 30 years or more like this, then I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't. And so I'd made the decision that if this was it, I didn't want to leave a wake of trauma behind me for the ones that I love. And so I kind of got into my head, irrationally, probably with some medication in me. And at 3 a.m, I'm like, I'm just going to be done.
Yeah.
And I sort of made that hard and fast decision. And I felt a sense of relief with that, honestly. So the next morning I get up and I do a Google search. And my search was, it was pain counselor, because I figured if I spoke to somebody who understood the condition that I had and the depth of the pain that I had, instead of minimizing it, and they had these counseling skills, this is how I rationalized it to myself, they would be willing to help me kind of like figure out what I do to, you know, whatever. And so I do that Google search, and for the very first time, these two words, pain coach, came up on my screen.
Interesting.
Now, I've been living with pain for 10 years.
Right.
And I'd never heard these two words together, and I'd never seen them together, but they were divinely put on my screen.
And that's
always
how it works.
Up.
There's always little things that are put in our path, and then we have to make the decision what we want to do with it, right?
Well, it was literally crazy. These two words were like leaping off of the page at me. I mean, like a cartoon, they were there. So I'm like, okay, I clicked on it. It was 6:40 a.m. I remember 6:40. And I click on this and I get the phone number and I'm calling to leave a message. I didn't expect anyone to answer at 6:40, but someone picks up and it's this lady, Jenny, who runs this, this company that does pain coaching. So I spoke to Jenny and I'm crying and I'm in pain, and you can hear pain in people's voices. And she lives with chronic pain herself, and she explained to me what chronic pain coaching was. And it sounded hopeful. It sounded interesting, and she made it sound hopeful to me. And so she set me up very, very quickly with a pain coach. My coach's name is Jareen. And I spoke to Jareen, and the very first appointment, what happened is, it was an hour-long appointment, and Jareen said to me, can you tell me what's going on? And it wasn't until I kind of got done with the appointment that I realized I'd spent, 59 minutes of an hour appointment talking. And she was sat there listening, nodding, writing.
What a novel concept, like someone listening to you for that long from a healthcare provider, right?
So it was that sort of, when someone's listening to you and they're affirming you, Allison, by just sort of like the facial expressions, the eyebrows and the smiles and the whatever. I could tell that she was deeply engaged, and it occurred to me that for the first time in a really, really long time, someone had actually taken the time to listen to me.
Interesting.
And so I felt validated. I felt understood, and I felt like seen. And it was like, it's so hard to, like, it sounds so trivial and basic, but it was such a monumental shift for me that after having spent all of this time with the professions that I'd seen, that someone had spent more than 3 minutes or 5 minutes with me, like listening and hearing and understanding and really caring. And so then I met with her a couple of days later. At this point, I decided we'd made a plan that I would see her 3 times a week until I was in the right state, okay? The next appointment, she said to me, do you understand how pain works? And I'm like, of course I understand how pain works. I live with this.
Right.
Like, of course I do. Well, the fact is, I didn't. I thought I did, but I really didn't. So she breaks it down and she sort of explains the mechanics of pain, and I started to finally the penny sort of dropped, and it's really a very typical thing that a pain coach will do very early on in the relationship is explain the mechanics of how pain works in the brain, how a signal comes up the body and goes into the spinal cord, and then the brain through memory and all sorts of other things decides, is it a tickle? Is it an itch? Is it a pain signal? Is it whatever? and how neuroplasticity works and how our brain can become hardwired to pain. Just like learning a different language or riding a bicycle, you get better at something because those connections get stronger and stronger. And so she starts to explain this. And I'm like, oh, I get it. So I've just become really, really good at pain.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes. But she's like, there's something really good about that. I'm like, well, what's good? Well, what's good is if you can learn it, it means you can unlearn it.
Yeah.
If you can learn pain,
yeah,
you can learn the opposite of pain, which is safety.
Interesting.
And I never thought like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So for people listening, I'm thinking who have, you know, chronic pain or just a chronic problem that just never seems to either A, get better, or B, they just feel like they're going through the motions to try to take care of it. When you talk about safety, what do you mean?
So, and again, this might sound silly, but it's not. It's really, really important. So the easiest way for me to describe what safety is I know that I don't have tissue damage.
Yeah.
Tissue damage means my arm's going to fall off or, you know, I've broken my ankle. And if I keep walking on it, you know, I'm going to end up in real trouble.
Yeah.
And so when I talk safety now, here's what I do. And this is a technique that I figured out works for me, mm-hmm. and it may work for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
As a 50-something-year-old man, I find the notion of talking to a 50-something-year-old man and trying to calm him down a little strange. But if I think of myself as trying to calm down the 7-year-old version of me who's young and vulnerable and scared and afraid, I can sort of like, I can wrap my head around that. And so what I do is I literally either out loud, which I'll do in my office here or quietly in my head if I'm in the grocery store, mm-hmm. is I will say things like, there is no tissue damage. You are safe. Thank you for sending me that signal, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I don't need to keep going on, but you get the gist.
It's more about acknowledging and just kind of that reassurance, that quiet reassurance is what's coming up for me. Yeah.
And so what I try to, what the way it works is while the intellectual you kind of knows this, your brain that's doing all of this work interpreting the signal doesn't, and it needs to be reminded. And so that's a lot of what I try to do to myself. You know, the other parts of safety are, you know, moving out of that sort of activated fight and flight sort of system and trying to reduce and calm that. So as an example, I mean, even before I met you, Allison, today, I'm very used to doing this. I'll sit in my chair, I plant both feet flat on the floor, mm-hmm. put my hands on my lap, and I close my eyes, and I take some very deep cleansing breaths mm-hmm. to get that oxygen deep into me. Yep. And you know all of it, of course.
Yeah, right.
I always have a vision of the same place that I love, that I can see in my mind's eye, and I just let things go quiet for just a couple of minutes while I'm breathing, looking at that place, and I'm just trying to let all of this other stuff fall away for a second.
Yeah.
And it's really just as simple as finding moments during the course of my day where I do that. And you know, I know you very often ask this question about the non-negotiables in your shows. And, you know, for me, as an example, one of my non-negotiables is I meditate every morning.
Yeah.
And I meditate typically to get to sleep. I'll do a meditation that will ultimately make me sleep. And it is a non-negotiable. And yes, meditation is hard to figure out, but it isn't eventually. It's hard.
Well, I just want to say, if I can jump in here for a minute, meditation is not something that we do when things are calm.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result,
Or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled cellevate.com, which is cellev8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. You know, I think a lot of people say to me, well, I can't really meditate. I can't quiet my brain. I'm like, that's the whole point. That's why you meditate, is so that you find a way to manage the crazy, right? It's like you find your own calm within the crazy. So if you like for things to be calm, it ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. And I remember trying a few times in the past to meditate, and just the idea of sitting still for 5 minutes, I mean, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was through kind of like having to, and I knew that this would make a difference. So I did actually find, there's this app, Insight Timer, that you may be aware of, but it's free. Insight Timer is a free kind of like meditation and mindfulness app, which I downloaded. And I found this guy, David J.I., on there. And he's a pretty well-known meditation teacher. And he has a program, 40 Days of Transformation. And so I stumbled across this on my own. What's really cool for me about 40 days is enough time to take, to turn something into a habit.
Yeah.
And so I started on this, and it took, you know, I think it was 10 minutes the first day and 15 the next and whatever it was. And incrementally, it builds its way up to a point that you're doing a 30-minute silent meditation, by which time it becomes pretty easy.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's become a non-negotiable. And I would tell anybody that's got, you know, a complicated pain situation that, you know, put in the time. It is definitely worth it, because being able to, you know, I know myself that if I meditate, I can typically bring my pain down 2 full points on that 1 to 10 scale. Mm-hmm. And that those 2 points are the difference between me feeling really stuck and me being able to get up and get moving.
Yeah.
And then once I'm moving, I'm able to reduce it just, again, another point. And then when I sit and I do something else that's quiet, like, I don't, whatever, like, it's all about incrementally bringing things down.
And it's also about, what are you telling yourself and how are you managing it, right? How are you managing the thought that you have in your brain that I'm hurting, this isn't going to get better, whatever. And it's like, when you do that, you know, we're consistently reinforcing to ourselves kind of where we are, you know, and that your nervous system just stays elevated all the time. It's always in that elevated state where it's like, oh shit, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like, you really, I can tell you understand, Allison, you really get this, because the negative self-talk is a really big problem.
Totally, 100%. That's where we're married to our stories to some degree.
Yeah, 100%. When you're in that place of feeling a bit sorry for yourself, and yes, you're hurting and you feel alone and isolated, the self-talk is terrible.
Yeah.
It's never going to end, and it's only going to get worse. The catastrophizing just builds and builds and builds. And we have to stop that. And again, these are all the little things that pain coaching does, because you've now got this person who sees you, hears you, understands you, is there to guide and support you and to walk the journey with you. And that's so, so important. So again, these are just the little tip that you just gave there is a really big one of reframing. I use that language a lot, reframing, because reframing the narrative, reframing. So I don't typically, unless I'm in an environment like this, I never say the word pain. I say discomfort.
Yeah.
And it's a way of reframing the word.
Yeah. It's pain really is, just, I think sometimes just if we describe something another way, that right then and there can make a big difference. Right.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I started this journey of being coached, and through being coached, I learned, you know, incrementally, these little things that start to make a difference. You know,
this is what you work with your clients on now.
100%. So now what we do, so Pain Coach Academy was set up where we train coaches. So we train people to become the coach that then works with the client. But I'm here actually to advocate for the discipline itself, because, you know, it's pretty people don't know it. That the professions that you might go to see don't necessarily talk about it. And it is a tool that we can use. So I'm out there. We're out there training people to do this. But it's really a case of letting folks know that if they come to our website, I've got a button, find a coach,
yeah.
Which will always connect people with a coach. But it's just, it's really my goal in life is, look, this thing helped me.
Yeah.
It made a really big difference. And I know a lot of people that have the same illness as me and similar sort of conditions. And I've yet to find one whose life has not been radically changed yeah. by this. I'm not saying for one second that this is an alternative to the other stuff. I'm saying that this is part of that process.
Yeah.
That when you put this into the process of all of the other care and treatment, it will get you moving to a point where you can live, you can live and thrive.
Yeah. So tell us then, some of this we've already been through, but I just want to simplify it a little bit for people listening. So I'm thinking about someone listening who maybe is just feel like they've done all the things, tried all the things. They may be sitting there saying, you know, I don't meditate. It just doesn't work for me. So I'm wondering if you can just offer a few tips or pieces of advice for anyone listening that might at least help get them started in a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of very, very simple things. And I, you know, again, I'm not trying to self-promote, but I've got this book, Reframing Pain, that I just wrote.
Okay, awesome.
Happy to give that to a link for the ebook to your listeners.
Of course.
The whole kind of second part of that book, I have kind of these little tips and tricks and things that you can do, but very simple things, and they need to be put together sort of in a row that works for you. But it is things like, you know, the negative self-talk and the reframing the language that you use about yourself. Very, very simple things like that. It is sitting very simply for just a couple of minutes in a quiet room. Turn down the lights, sit still, take some deep cleansing breaths. I know it sounds so basic and so simple.
Right.
For me, I know that if I have to remove myself from agitated conversations. If I hear a couple of people arguing, for example, you know, so understanding what I know what my triggers are. Little dogs barking. It's insane, but it's a trigger for me.
Yeah.
Little dog. Yeah. It's that little dog voice. It's the people arguing is a massive trigger for me. So I step away from it. I remove myself from those sorts of environments. Yeah, it's taking those cleansing breaths. It's the negative self-talk. It's being able to meditate. It's sleep. Sleep hygiene is so incredible.
100%.
Incredibly
older I get. And look, this is true for not even just chronic pain, but in general, I think the older we get, rest becomes even more important.
It's so critical. And I was a terrible sleeper. Like, I just did not treat it seriously. Now, I mean, I have to now be careful not to get a bit paranoid about sleeping. But as I mentioned to you earlier, I was up quite late last night and I knew I needed to do a few things this morning, but I went and slept in a different bedroom from my partner. And, you know, I set my alarm clock a couple of hours later than I normally would. Because I know I have to get, I need at least 6 hours. If I don't get 6 hours, which is less than I should be getting, I know that I needed 6 solid hours sleep, or else my pain is going to be worse. It's pure and it's simple and it's fact. And so making sure that that room is dark, making sure that room is quiet, all of the good things. So I talked about sleep hygiene. But it's really the simple trick, Allison, isn't any one thing. It's a combination of little things put together.
Yeah, I figured that.
The difference.
Yeah.
And so, I outline a handful of those things. I help folks identify what their triggers are. And then I talk about a trigger response plan, because anybody that has chronic pain will be susceptible for pain flares.
Yeah.
I had one this last weekend, and when a flare kicks up, everything else sort of falls by the side and you can't think straight. And so when you're in a moment like that, what becomes really important is knowing what you're going to do. So I've developed this thing called a trigger response plan. Again, it's pretty simple. It's taped inside, for me, it's taped inside the kitchen cabinet. And I've also got a photograph on my phone. And it's like, do this, then do this, and then do that.
Well, sometimes you have to keep it so simple that it becomes routine and it's habit. And then it's just a matter of,
absolutely.
You know, when we see it, it just reinforces more to our to us that this is what we do.
Yeah. So it's really simple things, Allison. But the key is, you know, if you can find a coach, pain neuroscience education. We know through study that somebody understanding the neuroscience of pain. And we're not talking about getting deeply scientific, but if we have two people in a room with exactly the same condition, and one person understands pain neuroscience at a basic kind of basic level, and the other person doesn't. That person that understands pain will be less.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah.
Fact. There are studies that prove this. So when we start with that, that's reducing the pain a smidge. And then what the person that practices good sleep hygiene, then there's a little bit lower. So again, it's this assembly line of tools that will make a difference. And so that's the benefit of having the coach beside you, is having the person there to really understand you, the human being, understanding your lifestyle, understanding the work that you do and the family situation that you've got and all of the other things that make you uniquely you, and building with you a plan of action of how you can adjust your life to do and be all of the things that you need to be.
Yeah, I get that. So how can people connect with you then? Obviously we've got your ebook, and well, anyone listening can find those links in the show notes, but how can people connect with you?
So to connect with me, if you do alex@paincoachacademy, paincoachacademy.com, you'll get right to me. I will answer anybody. The ebook is there. There's a find a coach link. And then the other thing that might be interesting for some people is, you know, this is an interesting career. What we do focus on is we have found that folks that have a lived experience of complicated pain happen to make really good coaches because they have, pain changes you. Folks that have a lived experience are deeply empathetic typically and go on to become really good coaches. It also provides an employment opportunity that's flexible. So you're at home.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you build your own schedule. So if you need an hour in the afternoon to take a nap or take a walk or be out in nature, which by the way is another really good trick.
Yeah, totally.
Outside and,
anytime you can get in nature, it's just grounding.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So, come and get me. Find a coach. And this is a great career for anybody that's got a lived experience of pain. And we try and make it, you know, as accessible as possible. And
awesome. Thanks so much for making time to share your story with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So, all right, folks, you heard it right from somebody who is in the chronic pain battle himself. Really, some of my takeaways from this chat are, it's not always the big silver bullet that we look for as the solution to the problem, as always. It's always the little things and figuring out what's going to work for you. And if you've been listening to me for any length of time on this show, you know that self-care obviously is a journey and it's going to be different for everybody. So there may be a couple of nuggets here that could be helpful for you, or maybe it might give you a chance to kind of inventory and say, you know what, I'm doing all those things, so I'm really not doing as bad as I thought. And I think that that's always important to mention too, that maintenance is always considered progress. So if you know someone in your world who you think this episode would be helpful for, please copy the link, send it to them as a free gift from me. We always love it when our listeners do that. If you would rather reach out to me and have us do it for you, we certainly can. You can connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. Just reach out, write to me, drop me a note, or you can drop me a message on any of our socials. I always say my DMs are always open, so feel free. And we always love to hear your feedback. So if what we talked about today was really helpful, please share that with us as well. Thank you so much for everything that you do. and our listening family to help us continue to promote our both of our shows. You guys are the reason why I show up here every week and hopefully bring you something really helpful. Maybe it's not brand new for you. Maybe it's just a handful of nuggets and things that can help you, you know, along your own self-care journey. Because this is how I find what is always helpful is finding not just what works for people, but the mistakes people have made and how they've fixed them. I think sometimes to me that always lands more than saying, hey, I've got the solution. So anyway, we thank you for all of your support. And just know that we are grateful for all of you. This is Allison Kaczkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.